All right. I know it's going to be... I know it's going to be a stressful week. Here it comes. The holidays are afoot. And so many of you, with the gift of hospitality and just the gift of just bringing people together, you overdo it, you overstress it. And this whole series that we've been talking about the last few weeks has been about, even though we need this all year long, we really looked at, okay, the holidays are coming up. Now we need this message more than ever, is we need to build more margin in our lives. We don't need to be any more busy than we are. We don't need to be any more stretched financially than we are. And so what we really need is to carve out time to be with God, to be with our church family, to grow closer to each other, to be available, to give out to those who need it in the ministries around church, in the community, in the various places that we support as a church, and to be able to know that all that we have, all that we've been given, our resources, our assets, our finances, all that comes from God. And when we give back to His work, we start to align not just our money with what's important in the world, but align our hearts with, you know, where God wants us to be. And so often our hearts follow that money trail because that's what's a representation of what's valuable in our life. So we've been talking about time, energy, and money for the last 3 weeks and how to build more margin to be available to make a difference in this world. We've been looking at this definition of what that means that I found in this article with Andy Stanley that just really screamed to me. The space between your current pace and your limits. Your current pace and your limits. And so if you've been running at such a pace where your current pace and your limits are just right there together, you don't have a lot of margin. And it's running way too thin. Whether it's with your time, your energy, or your finances, how can we build more margin in our lives? And I want to share this little passage with you where the Bible is very clear and Jesus is very clear that, you know, it's very easy to give our leftovers to God because we've sort of just kind of, you know, given our best to so many other places. And here's a little bit of an example that I think this is a great thing, but it just is kind of a, are you getting bombarded with hashtag Giving Tuesdays yet in all your emails and things like that? Everybody know what this Tuesday is all about? I mean, this is kind of recent. And I mean, this is only, I think this is the third year that Giving Tuesday has been around. It's the greatest afterthought that nonprofits, you know, came up with. But it's an example of trying to do good. The heart's in the right place, but the world is just way more powerful than we can catch up with. And so it's the Tuesday after Thanksgiving week. And so you've got, but the problem is by the time you get around to Giving Tuesday, and the whole idea was to kind of balance things out, all right, you know, so Friday after Thanksgiving, you know, Black Friday comes, you know, and everybody's, you know, spending their money, you know, and this is the retail world's, you know, the reason they call it Black Friday isn't because you just go shopping while it's still dark outside, but it's because it's the one day a year, it's when the retail world gets in the black financially for the first time in their fiscal year. And so they count on that day to make their money and start making profits again. So, you know, everybody goes shopping Black Friday. And it's like, okay, well, we're being so materialistic. Maybe we'll feel better about ourselves if we put a day aside to give. Well, let's give on Saturday. Well, nobody's around on Saturday doing that. Okay, well, how about that Monday? Well, Monday even beat it. Right. So you got Cyber Monday. And so finally somebody... You know, when, okay, now all the online deals, you know, are being slashed. And so you get on your computer and you buy some more stuff on Monday. So by the time you get around to Giving Tuesday, I mean, it's like, you know, do you have anything left to give? And so why couldn't Giving Tuesday be like the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, you know, or, you know, something like that. But, you know, it's like they're just like jumped in, you know, on the tail end, you know, kind of, all right, well, if anybody's got anything left after Black Friday and Cyber Monday, you could give to these nonprofits, be generous, you know, with, you know, but there's hardly anything left. And so, all right, but I'm trying to get you in the mood for trying to get your mind off of food now, because I mentioned all that cornbread stuffing, and on to money a little bit. So I got a game for you. Anybody get my 80s reference? I'm so proud of this. Okay, everybody. Okay, shall we? But, all right, thank you. All right, good. See, you're right. They would get it. Okay, all right, cool. Okay, so I don't think it's been a few years since we've done this. A few years. We've only been around like 3. So, right. But this was in our first year. I thought it'd be fun to play again because there weren't that many. I think we got new faces anyway. So on to 3. You guys up for a little name those money tunes? All right, okay, so we're gonna get a little competitive here. Let's play this side of the room versus, wait, we got our musicians. So we'll start with this side of the room. If they can't get it, like if they just get stumped, then you guys get a chance to steal. So, and I'll do a time limit of like 10 seconds and I'll cut the music off or something like that. I'm making it up as I go. All right, so. Yeah. Good. I want artist and song. Artist and title. Title and artist. Title first, then artist.
Okay.
If you only get title, then you can steal a half a point if you get artist.
Okay.
You can tell I've thought this through pretty well. So. All right, you ready? Okay, here's song number 1. Left side of the room. Oh, come on. Hold on. Time's a series. You guys get
Beatles. Yes.
Ah, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Oh, well.
Yes, yeah, money.
That's true. That's a parenthetical. That's what I want. All right. Good job. All right. 1 point to that side. Okay. You guys ready for your song? All right.
Song I'm not allowed to. I don't have any control.
Get it?
Oh.
5. There you go. Pretty fun. MTV generation over here. All right.
Okay.
What?
Who sings backup on that song?
Sting.
Yes.
Oh, I'm right there with you. Do I get a point? Okay, back to the side of the room. Song number 3. It's a tie game. Okay. Are you letting the whole team play, you guys? Are you guys?
Yeah, me and him are on this.
Gotta love those.
All right. Usually, you come to church. Oh, they're talking about money. That's gonna suck. This is fun, right?
Yeah.
I think you guys were on it, so I can cut it short. Steve Miller. Oh. Good job. All right. Wow. It is neck and neck here. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. think these guys have a chance to steal a half a point. Can you get it?
We sent Red Moon.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nobody knows
it. It's money like that matters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, well, you guys, if you get a full point, because they're behind a half a point. All right. So we're on number six. My wife not know this. Can't make it too easy. Oh, are we gonna be tied at a half a point?
Oh, okay. Come on!
You guys know. You guys
know. I got it.
Half a point. So these guys are up a half a point now. All right. A couple more. Here we go. Two more. Ready? Back to the side of the room.
But I prefer a man who lives and gives expensive jewels.
Besides Nick and Tom.
Was that? You know, it's my beat.
Who?
Did we get a chance?
It's our turn
yet? It's our turn.
Okay, they got the title.
Uh-huh.
You guys can steal the artist.
Marilyn Monroe.
Is it Marilyn?
Yeah!
So back to a tie. Last question. Last song to this side of the room. So this is for all the money. So I can't remember what it is. Oh yeah, I can. Todd, you're gonna be mad that you don't get to know.
Oh come on!
Pink Floyd. It's like trivia. Who played the cash register on that song? I don't know.
What time was it in?
Okay, congratulations. You guys gotta put more in the offering this week. I don't know. So for bragging rights. We'll be back on. Can we go back to channel whatever we were on? Channel 2 or 4. So okay, well that was fun. And so are you in the mood a little bit to talk money and giving our best to God? And it's not going to be all about money. And we talk so little. In fact, I've gotten a little. You know, part of the reason this series we're doing this series and is I've been. Not encouraged because it was almost like a scolding. It's like you're not doing your congregation a favor not talking about money. It's because, it's like, well, what do you do at your church? Well, I don't know. The whole offering thing, you know, is a little awkward. We got a giving box in the back, you know, and most people mail it in anyway or do it electronically. So, you know, it saves time and that whole passing the plate thing. Try not to mention it. You know, people get the wrong idea. You know, there's been so many abuses, you know, in the church world around money. And so, you know, hopefully if people give, they're going to give, you know, and it's like you're in a position as pastor to, you're not standing in the right place if you're not bringing your church into a place of blessing. that comes with giving, and specifically giving financially. You know, and I like took some lumps there, and I'm okay. It's like, all right, well, let me think about that. And this, honestly, this is more than months ago, and I keep hemming and hawing, and our leadership team knows this, and some, you know, and I was, and finally we got around to talking about this a little bit. And so I get it, I'm a little shy about it, but Jesus isn't. So let's let him do the talking. So one of those little episodes where Jesus and his disciples are in the temple, and it's for a time of worship. And Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. And this was a very public affair. You know, this is what you did as part of your time at the temple. You would go and you would do your offering. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor little widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. And I'm sure, you know, those who were well off, you know, felt pretty good about, you know, obviously it was very visible what clanged in the bottom of that offering container, you know, was louder and heavier from some people, and then just, you know, kind of a little ding ding, you know, from this little widow. But Jesus, who always notices everything, makes a real point to show what he observed, which was probably contrary to what most people felt in that setting about who was giving what. So calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." And that's what's pretty cool about the way God sees through stuff, is he sees the heart and he goes by percentages. You know, and so, you know, if, you know, a wealthy person's 1% might be far more than somebody else's 50%. And here's this little widow putting in her 90th percentile. I mean, who knows what? I mean, but that she had obviously lived a life where she had felt God's provision and blessing and protection and security so much that she could do that. That she could give away that much. Where Jesus said, hey, these guys, they will never notice the amounts that they gave away. She's going to notice that in an hour. She's going to feel that. And so you can't go by looks, you guys. You can't go by the chunk of change that appears to be a certain weight. And so, you know, and As we talk today a little bit more specifically about money, I want you to see this next principle I want to talk about, you know, relating to all the assets that God provides for us, not just our finances, but our time, our energy, which includes our gifts and our skills and our experiences and our education and all that we can put to work for whatever purposes. God gives us a lot of freedom in how we use our time, energy, and money. How will we use those? But I want to talk about something, a life principle that comes out of the principles are there for Scripture. Some of the numbers are specifically there, but I feel strongly enough about this that if you live by this, you will only feel security and blessing, and you will, and it's an absolute cure against being so materialistic in this world that just is just pounding for our money all the time. And it's the 10-10-80 principle is what a lot of people have called it, and it starts off with understanding the tithe in the Bible. We've talked about this the last couple weeks, and that the tithe literally means a tenth. And last week we talked about how, whoa, slow down, 10%? That's a lot of money. And we've heard, you know, we've had some great testimonies the last few weeks, and something that they've had in common in being able to give, you know, at, you know, that amount is you started young. You've been doing this for a while. Okay, and I just want to let you know that if you're, you know, and here's the thing. I care, but I don't care. You know, I don't, you know, we don't measure things. Again, we let God do the, you know, we just serve here at Neighborhood Church. And you've got to make up your mind. I love the way Paul says it. It's in the slide for our giving box. It says, everybody's got to make up their own mind. It's between you and God what you're going to give. And you're not going to go from, you know, 0 or 1% to 10% overnight. And please don't, actually. That might kind of cause a lot of issues with your, you know, financial stability and stuff. It's something that you kind of want to work towards. But it's easier when you're young. When you're tithing off your part-time, you know, lifeguard money, you know, as a kid, you know, you kind of get used to it, you know. But you start making, you know, big-time CEO money, or, you know, whatever you guys do, you know, it's, you know, it's, you know, it's a little, it's like, whoa, hey, that's, you know, that's a chunk of change right there. And so, so what I want to lay out today is simply an invitation for personally talking with God about where He is calling you in your next step of giving. And maybe you've been, you know, like the testimonies we have, maybe you've been modeling this now for years, and awesome, because your giving has been doing so much for ministry and is driving, you know, in so many ways the engine of many ministries, including ours here at Neighborhood Church. And remember that verse last week. It's not money that's bad. Money is pretty awesome. I mean, money can do a lot of amazing things. It's that love of money. It's that holding on to it that causes all its problems. Best line in Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
This won't ruin anything for you. One little joke. I won't even say who starts off, but, you know, you got these superheroes that are just kind of getting to know each other, feeling each other out a little bit. And one of them asks Batman, so what's your superpower? You know, it's like, I don't see this guy flying. You know, what's super, you know, it's like, and without skipping a beat, Batman responds, I'm rich. You know, and it's true. You know, it's like, you know, Bruce Wayne, you know, billionaire. And so, but he, you know, and there's a touching moment at the end when you see, you know, some of the fruit from that generosity. Okay, so, you're not gonna get that. That's not saying anything. No, that's not saying anything. I'm safe for that one, Mark. Anyway, and so because he put so much of his wealth into saving the world, you know, I mean, but that's a good thing. He shows how riches can do amazing things. And so, you know, our prayer team, I pray for the wealth of this congregation. Believe me, that you do well, you're getting bonuses, you're getting raises, you know, everything's going well. I want you to be filthy rich, but I want you to be even closer to God than ever before, because like Jesus says, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. And if your treasure is in, you know, like my buddy in that $120,000 Tesla, that's where his treasure is, that's where his heart is. That's what he's thinking about, because that's what he plunked down on. So where you plunk down is what you're thinking about, what's causing, you know, so when you're giving to God's work, it's going to draw your heart even closer. So, but I love this. I love this. It's so comforting to me, this idea that if I give 10% before anything, that's my first move. That's my first line item in my budget. It's not, oh, let's see what's left. But again, this takes some time to get to. And so right now, forget about those numbers, so to speak. It's wherever, You know, it's the idea is starting off in the give line item, as opposed to waiting to see what happens later. But then there's a practical side, is the saving and putting away. And we're going to go over this in more detail here. But then what that leaves us with is there's our spending plan. Now it's nice. There's our budget. It's nice and laid out for us. If I can stick to 80%. So you're not going to hear this anywhere else. Where on in North America, anywhere on planet Earth, are you going to hear stay within 80%? Everywhere else is saying you can stretch it to 120%. You can stretch it to 150%. In fact, we'll loan you all this and you just pay it back, you know, over time. But when you look at what you pay back, I mean, now it's 167%. And so now we'll time out. I'm not talking about homes. We've got to, you know, that's a practical, wise thing, you know, to have a mortgage, and there's advantages there, obviously. Could even make an exception on vehicles. Everything else, oh, if you don't have cash in hand, that's a tough one for me. I mean, again, I'm not talking about college education type stuff. There's some things we've got to pay for over time, but there's so many things that stretch us that we feel like we need way before we ever really do. So living within that 80%. So starting off with give 10%, or just making whatever that percentage is. And so, and if you're doing numbers right now, if you're a numbers person, you need to know that it's the national average for church giving is like barely 2%. Okay? I mean, that's, now those of you that are giving like, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12%, you're like, what? Where guys are? And so, but that's, you know, that's the national average. And as far as like socioeconomic, you know, scales, the lower income makers are the higher givers. Just like in the story with Jesus. The wealthy, you know, say, well, I've given, you know, more than that person gave, but percentage wise, it's much less. And so just some little stats. But I love this proverb, and we're going to be hearing a lot of proverbs today. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And what that means is right off the beginning. Don't give them the leftovers. Give, you know, let this be your first response to what you receive is giving back to God. And it's not giving to God. It's giving back to God, which is just an acknowledgement. I get it. I get how I've been blessed. I get where the money's coming from. I get how you've been aligning and protecting me and prospering me. Here is your portion. Which really, it's all his. And all he's saying, hey, I'll know we're on the same page with that smaller percentage. But look at this promise. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. He didn't even know wine was involved. I mean, and so how cool is God? I mean, you just like, I mean, so wine is involved. And so, or you could take it as a metaphor to mean like, you know, that he's going to provide everything for you, which is what it's talking about. But there's wine too. So this is how, you know, in our own family, we've done our best to align our budget. This is how, as a church, we've aligned our budget, you know, and these are just some of the, you know, these are the main ministries we give to every month. And so as income comes in, the first things that go out are our giving to other agencies that can do a way better job with stuff than we ever could. So let's support Cure International, healing kids around the world with neurological and muscular deformities and, you know, tons of cleft lips, you know, surgeries, club feet, you know, just all kinds of, it's a medical ministry internationally. And so your money, a portion goes to that ministry, to Shelter Inc., which is right here locally in Contra Costa County. And many of you have been to the family shelter when we've brought meals over there and other items throughout the year. Options for Women, which is another local Christian ministry in the area. And then many of you were on the mission trip to the orphanage in Tijuana when we went 2 summers ago. And we're going to be going again. And so we're going to keep you posted on that. And so we don't just show up once in a while. I mean, every month we're sending financial support to that amazing, all these amazing ministries. And so our church budget also gives out. We never make any money on anything, but that's the point. We're a nonprofit. We're trying to give out, you know, and to be able to do Adventure Camp was, I mean, our whole community budget went out to that, which, you know, plus a little more. And so that was, you know, but to have Mr. J and to have, you know, 50 kids, half of whom weren't from our church family, but, you know, in the community, get to experience that kind of a week. Noah, you were a part of it. It was awesome, right? Attaboy. And so I got the thumbs up. Okay. And so, you know, it's so worth it to know that, you know, we're stewarding the finances that God has given us. And that's where our priority is. Fall Fest. I mean, there's another, we're not making any money on Fall Fest. We're giving out, you know, financially to just put on a fun night for the community, you know, and just let families know there's a fun, safe place to come and be a part of. And so just a few examples, you know, that's, you know, what we're trying to model with our neighborhood church budget. And then putting money away. And the Bible is full of scriptures on don't be a drag on your society. You know, contribute. Go to the ant. This is my favorite one in the whole Old Testament. Go to the ant, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. I guess they didn't have the whole queen thing going on at that point, but you get it. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. And so, you know, you just go to the animal kingdom. They naturally put stuff away because there's going to be, you know, there's going to be hard times. Who knows what's going to happen? And you don't want to be caught short. You don't want to have overstretched, have overspent, have not planned well. So put something away for that rainy day. The Bible doesn't give us any percentages on that one. So that's just sort of a, you know, that leaves up to, you know, your own wisdom and comfort level. Maybe it needs to be 20%. Maybe 5 is okay. Depends on what that crazy rate of return is out there, you know, and you know what our economy is. But if you, you know, but that's a nice little balance that you can't go wrong. And if, you know, you're my financial advisor friends, you know, if you can get 8% return, how wonderful is that? And so but putting together, you know, they always want you to max out what you can put away into those tax-deferred accounts. And so those of you that can put away 5, 8, 10%, you're going to be thankful for that. And you can put it away for college, put it away for retirement. And so you don't want to be caught short. So many, too many stories in our culture of people being caught short. If they had only put some away earlier, they would be more than taken care of and be able to take care of others, not just themselves. And that brings us back to this whole, here's the hard one. Here is the hard one. To me, this is where it all comes down to. Can we be disciplined enough, humble enough, go against the grain of our culture enough to resist those temptations of, again, being stretched to 120%, let alone 100%. And ratchet things back to, you know, look at, okay, what is my revenue? What is my income? Point times 0.8. If I can figure out a way to live within that, I am going to be able to give out and be part of so much good happening in this world and be connected to life transformation stories that, you know, that are going to be, you know, I mean, just being part of keeping things going here at Neighborhood Church, you know, goes to just whatever all these kids are experiencing, having a place, being connected to a church family where, again, there's growth and life change and the opportunity to serve and be connected. How powerful is that? So again, this isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time and some planning. It's going to take a little, you know, sacrifice, and then maybe a little more. But you're going to feel so good about it. I can stand here and tell you how good it feels and how fortunate I am to have started fairly early in life. And I remember getting in an argument with my dad about it. And then having to try to, you know, explain, you know, well, it's just something that's important to me. And just the look of respect that he had, that just, it kind of surprised me, you know. And he's all right, you know, you're old enough to make those decisions. I'm not gonna say there aren't some months where it's a little hard, but you just push through and God always shows up. But don't take my word for it. Big Mama, come on up and talk a little bit about this. So every week we've gotten to hear from somebody that, you know, is invested time-wise, energy-wise, financially, and who's better to speak to that than somebody who, you know, is here every single Sunday with brownies and love and hugs and is in a small group and anyway, why am I
and
talking?
Who is really old.
And so that's why we need to hear from your wisdom.
Okay. I always marvel at Rick being able to memorize his whole sermon and not have to read it, but I can't do that, so I'm going to have to read my message here. Rick asked me to share how giving of my time, energy, and finances has had a positive influence on my life and my faith experience. That's a little hard to do without bringing attention to myself, and I really don't like to bring attention to myself. And I certainly don't like to brag. That's the very last thing I would want, just to sound like bragging. But if I've done anything right, it's due to the circumstances and opportunities that God has provided for me. The first important circumstance in my life was being born to Christian parents and growing up. We're going to church 2 times on Sunday, prayer meeting on Wednesday night, was as much a part of our week as school was for me or going to work was for my parents. I first started serving in the church when I was about 12. A pianist was needed because we didn't have one, so I took music lessons enough to learn to play hymns, and I was the official church pianist until I graduated from high school and left our small community. In those days, hymns were our worship music. In years to come, I sang in choirs and occasionally sang solos. Interestingly, I still remember the words to the hymns, but I have trouble remembering what I had for lunch today. Maybe the second most important circumstance was growing up where we had just enough resources to get by, thereby learning that happiness does not come from material goods, but true joy comes from depending on God to supply all our needs. One of the greatest blessings of my life has been the gift from God of my wonderful husband. Gene became a Christian while we were dating. Much to my amazement, and thankfully, he was all in on the regular church attendance and even continuing the tithing that I was accustomed to. We also think it's biblical and important to be good stewards of the other 90%. With both of us having known near poverty in our childhood, it has had an influence on the way we spent that 90%. We have been very frugal. Our daughters might call it tight throughout our marriage. For instance, while neighbors and friends kept moving up to bigger and better homes, we have lived in our starter house in California for 51 years, and we recently replaced a car that was 19 years old. We believe God has honored this pattern of spending and has allowed us the means to be more generous with our giving. A funny story, though, in connection with frugality, in a case in my work situation, maybe some thought I was too frugal. Near the end of my 13 years in the business world, I learned that I had been passed over for promotions to executive assistant because of my wardrobe. If the truth were known, it wasn't because of unwillingness to spend the money. It was because I was a size 2, and it was nigh to impossible to find appropriate dress in my size, and my seamstress skills were somewhat lacking. As for service, it's been years since there's been a need for pianist or choir member in the churches I've been in, and it's a good thing, as I wouldn't be able to play or sing now. But God has provided other ways of service that are behind the scenes, and I like that far better. One of the ways that I presently serve at Neighborhood Church is coordinating the prayer chain and healing meals. Please feel free to let me know if you have needs in either of these areas.
So I don't know who your favorite is, if you're a Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, or Aquaman fan. I'm a Patsy Meyer fan, and so talk about a hero to me and to so many. And so, Big Mama, thank you for sharing your heart and representing Big Daddy, too, and how much you guys love and serve God and our church, and we're just so grateful for you. And so our time, energy, and money, we've got a lot of responsibility. We've been blessed with so much. How will we respond? But here's the bottom line. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, I've got you. I've got you. You're in my hands. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And I will only show you new and incredible things as you trust me more and more. And so that's what God has for us when we come to him in a spirit of giving and faith. So let me say a little prayer as John and the team come back up and we move into it. Time of communion and part of me is really glad the series is over today, because it's been tough for me to talk about, and it's something I need to grow in, I think, as a pastor. And so But I just want to say, you know, just a personal, you know, comment, because I think part of it's hard for me is I'm, you know, the, you know, when you look at our budget, I'm the big line item. And so I personally, and our whole family, is grateful to all the giving and from all of you to give to Neighborhood Church. And so we trust God, and He has always come through, but He has used all of you to do that, and it's a huge, huge blessing. So, Lord Jesus, we have so much to be grateful for. Lord, I just pray for every individual and family that's represented here today, and I just pray, like that passage from last week, that you would just open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we can't contain as we trust you more and more. And we get to that place where we go, okay, this is what it's all about. I don't need to fear around this topic. I'm excited. I'm seeing how God provides. And now I can be a provider along with Him for so many. And so, Lord, help us to be on your team. And help us to feel that sense of security that comes only from being in a relationship with you. And so, Lord, bless every person here. Let them prosper. But, Lord, only as we grow close to you and give to you, because there's so many other dangers out there. Keep us safe. Keep all of our health and assets and family safe, Lord, because we've entrusted it to you. I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Switch today. We got this awesome sound system that we're blessed with here. So the communion table, as you've noticed, is on this side of the room. And so, you know, your muscle memory might need a little switch up. But come to the communion table as you feel led today. But why don't we stand and why don't we sing together? Also, prayer team will be in the same place as usual, though, in the back. So.